All right. Looks like we have everybody, so let's get going. Mr. Ceballo, do you wish to reserve some time for rebuttal? Again, this is your chance to have the last word.
Okay. Basically, what I want to do, I have two motions that I want to present if the court will grant me that permission, and then just state what I really want the court to do for me, if that is possible.
That's possible. The only thing I'm asking about at the beginning, though, is do you want to have, what's going to happen is you have the first chance to talk, and then Ms. Bohr, is that how we say
it? Yes, Ms. Bohr, correct.
Ms. Bohr will speak, and you as the appellant can have the last word, but you have to reserve time now. So do you want to reserve some time out of your 15 minutes?
Okay. Let's have 7 minutes for me to offer the motions that I've and then
okay.
Reserve.
Okay. All right. So 8 minutes, and then, and again, there you can see the clock. That will help you. And then whenever you want to stop, we'll try and alert you around 8 minutes, excuse me, and then we'll let you have the last word. So you may begin.
Okay. Basically, a lot of things have happened, Your Honor, since I filed two interlocutory appeal is pending before this court, and then a total of state court and state appeal, all as related cases, are also pending. So what I would like to do, that I think just like it is done, is to have a motion to continuing this oral argument until such a time that all these other impacting related cases are heard, especially the interlocutory appeals, and then also have a motion for stay of all proceedings as appropriate.
The status of your case is right now, I'm just going to stop you for a minute and say this is the time to argue your appeal. We don't usually get motions in the middle of oral argument, and I don't think we're prepared to rule on it. So we understand that you would like us to wait to render our decision. We will consider that request.
Okay.
But there's nothing for us to stay, as I understand it, because your case has been dismissed. So there is no pending bankruptcy. There's nothing we could stay in the bankruptcy world. That's the world we operate in. And to the extent you want to have things stayed in a state court action or something else, you need to go to state court and do that. We don't control those courts. So I'm going to ask you to proceed with your argument. We understand you're requesting that we hold this. I will talk to my colleagues, but I don't see anything we could stay here. So you may commence. You may continue.
Okay. What I'm actually arguing is that I want all the three cases, bankruptcy cases that have been dismissed, the first Chapter 11 case and the two Chapter 13, all to be reversed because the lawyers I got messed things up for me. And as well as I didn't get any help from the judges, from the judge when I asked for help because I had lawyers, paid them, but they weren't doing the job. And so they caused all my cases to be messed up, and my financial life, my wife and children are all in ruin. And I'm 74 years old at the moment. So what I'm trying to get this court to do for me, if it's possible, is to reverse all those and then allow me to convert my case to the new Chapter 11, Small Business Reorganization Act of 2019, H.R. 3311, which became law in August of 2019. If that is done, I think, and then, of course, within to give me at least 120 days to make sure I get a lawyer or a law firm that are loyal enough to help me clean up all this mess. I didn't cause the problem. The other people that brought all this about started all this mess, and everything has ballooned into almost an octopus-like situation. So I'm just trying to find a way in the law to help me get back on track, so to say, in terms of reinstating all those bankruptcies that were dismissed, converted to this Chapter 11, which is the appropriate chapter that should have been filed, but they didn't do it. So that is my main objective. All the other problems, I'll deal with it separately because of the narrow situation that you've told me about. I just want help in straightening this thing out so that I don't die in the middle of all this thing. I sustained a lot of things. I've had heart attack, and I'm still taking a lot of medicine. Things are very bad. I'm not criticizing the judge or the standing trustee or the U.S. trustee, but I thought by law they could have helped because I had the right people that I taught and paid to help me navigate my way through all this. They abandoned me in the state court as well as in the bankruptcy court. And I've been left alone struggling, and I almost died. So what I really want, that is exactly what I want. If the court can really convert my case and let me get help in having it reorganize my life, that is the main thing that I want. It's very difficult for me to explain it because it has become very complex. There's 14 related cases to this case. And I don't quite know how I can do it other than if this court has it in their power and the law can support what I'm talking about to help me file this thing correctly and reorganize my life and pay everybody that I owe. If I owe anybody, because I have enough income, enough asset that can make this happen. But I hired lawyers, and they've taken money and they're gone. And I have not been able to do anything about it because I don't have enough money yet to do that. And I'm facing all these 14 different related cases. So, in short, there's nothing much that I really want to say in this argument other than that. And then to also find a way to stay, if it's possible, so that I don't just have more and more problems. You know, that is really what I really want to do. So I will stop at that point so that you can. That is really my argument, my point. That's why I went to the bankruptcy court. You know, I got predators that were trying to steal property I bought. The former owner that I bought the property from, they never gave me possession. And they are still trying to afflict me. I filed involuntary case in order to get him to court, and it's still a mess. So I'll stop at this moment and let the other lawyer talk and maybe gather my composure. And re-emphasize what I'm trying to get this court to do for me.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Ceballo. Okay. Counsel?
Good afternoon. Jane Bohr on behalf of Devin Dernberg, the Chapter 13 trustee. While I am so sympathetic to Mr. Ceballo's issues with his property, the fact remains that the bankruptcy court properly dismissed this case that is in front of you right now because the debtor did not make his ongoing direct mortgage payments to mortgage lenders under the terms of his plan. The plan that he proposed with the assistance of counsel, specifically required that he make direct post-petition payments on a monthly basis. And under the general order enacted by the Northern District of California, he was required, when he chose to make those payments directly, to report at certain points along the course of his bankruptcy that he was current with those payments. He didn't do that. And so the trustee filed, as she should have, a motion to dismiss the case for lack of that evidence. At the hearing on the motion to dismiss, the judge specifically asked Mr. Ceballo if he had made all of those payments, and he had to concede that he had not. And at that point, when he had not, it was clear that he had not made all of the payments that he was supposed to, the judge properly exercised his discretion to dismiss this case for cause. Mr. Ceballos asked you to actually reverse three bankruptcy cases, in his first two and this one. And of course, the first two, he did not file a notice of appeal from either of those. Those two cases are not in front of you right now. Only his third case that was dismissed based on his failure to make his ongoing direct mortgage payments. And that much he conceded was accurate. So, and the judge in this case tried to help Mr. Ceballo. He gave Mr. Ceballo an order that granted the trustee's motion to dismiss, but effective several weeks forwards. And he and Mr. Ceballo talked about it at the hearing, and the judge said, you've got some time, use it to, if you want different counsel, you have a few weeks to get different counsel and talk about what, if anything, you can do through this case or a new case. And that wasn't, that didn't happen. Mr. Ceballo did on his own file a motion to vacate the dismissal, but he offered nothing, no reason that to actually vacate it. He didn't show that his mortgage payments were current. He didn't show that he was in the process of getting new counsel. He didn't offer the judge any reason to vacate his earlier dismissal of the case. And while my heart is sad for Mr. Ceballo, based on the issues that are before this court, it was properly dismissed. It was well within the bankruptcy court's discretion. The bankruptcy court applied the proper legal standard. He did not misconstrue any facts. He ruled
Did the bankruptcy court enter any order that would bar Mr. Ceballo from filing another case, for example, a Chapter 11 SBRA case like he's mentioning?
He did not, Your Honor. In fact, as part of his oral ruling, he explained to Mr. Ceballo that he might want, that this particular case wasn't offering Mr. Ceballo much protection because there was no automatic stay. The right. Automatic stay was not extended. This was Mr. Ceballo's third bankruptcy case. And he told Mr. Ceballo he might want to consider filing a different case. I don't think that he specified a chapter 11. Well, they actually did discuss on the record. The judge said he couldn't recommend what chapter, but he,
because of the cost, right?
Right, but he wasn't sure whether a 7 would accomplish what Mr. Ceballo wanted, that there were eligibility issues which were with chapter 13, and that the only other one available was chapter 11. Now, at that point in time, we didn't have small business bankruptcy wasn't available. It is now, but it was not at that particular time. So he did try his hardest to explain to Mr. Ceballo what his options might be, and to really sort of help him as much as a judge can help someone. He couldn't be Mr. Ceballos' advocate and right. tell him what to do. All he could do was to, you know, say what chapters were available and then suggest that Mr. Ceballos might want to use that 3-week period that he gave him to find counsel that he could speak with and that they could choose an appropriate remedy from there. So no, right. nothing that the court ordered prevented Mr. Ceballos from seeking, filing a new case.
All right.
So I know that Mr. Ceballos is also indicated, and I just want to address this very briefly, that he felt like the trustee didn't protect him in this process. And I just want to emphasize that I think the trustee did exactly what she was supposed to in this case. She has a duty to monitor cases, and when it's not being performed, to bring a motion to dismiss that and for the judge to take that under consideration, and that's what she did. Again, Mr. Ceballos had counsel. The trustee couldn't ethically work with Mr. Ceballos outside of that. So the trustee really administered this case just as she would any other Chapter 13 case and did nothing that was out of line here. But I think, while sympathetic, what happened legally was within the bankruptcy court's discretion, and that's the issue that's before the three of you today.
All right, thank you. Any questions, Judge Spraker?
None, no. Thank you very much.
All right. Judge Ferris, anything further?
Oh, thanks.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Ceballos. You have some time left. You have 7 minutes and 11 seconds, so you may give us some additional points. I'll just start out by saying that one of the points here is, even though you have 3 judges here today and we're all wearing black robes, we are limited in what we can do by rules. And one of those rules is we are very limited by the particular issue that you timely placed in front of us. So you're asking us to correct a number of things, and that, as you said, if we can do it under the law, and I just need you to know that what we're going to be considering is this narrow appeal, which was from the reconsideration order, actually. So there was a dismissal, and then there was a subsequent request to vacate the dismissal, and the judge denied that, and you appealed from that. So that's really what I call it, my range of motion. And I think people tend to think that just because we're judges, we can do whatever we want. We can't. And our families will tell us that. The law will tell us that. Any number of people will tell us that. So I need you to understand that in deciding how to use your last few minutes. So you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, I do understand everything that the counsel said and that the judge is saying. So, what I really think the problem is that the problem that the trustee saw and that the judge agreed to, had I competent lawyer, that I kept telling the lawyer, you can fix all this problem. You filed the wrong chapter for me, and you do something. They ignored me. So that part is what I'm thinking. If that is wrong for a licensed lawyer that was paid twice, he filed Chapter 13 for me. Then the court should be able to help me to clear that problem, because that's where the problem came from. I couldn't do much. And that's why I got a lawyer. And I keep telling the lawyer, help me find something to save this, to save it, talk to the, do this with the trustee, do that. They ignored me. That is my main, that is the biggest point, because if my lawyer has done the writings that the law allows. This wouldn't have happened. I should have filed, he could have filed 11 for me and then perhaps converted or something. Maybe they ignored me. See, the fact is that the first 13 that went, that the lawyer mixed up, they got more money from me and they filed more, another one. But they shouldn't have done that. In talking to many other lawyers, they told me that. So that is the problem that I'm thinking. Things went wrong. They didn't file it correctly. I paid for it, but they didn't do it. I couldn't be the lawyer, so he did everything. And then the judge denied it, of course, because he didn't do the right thing. But I told the judge, and I was thinking, since I could not represent myself well, there will be a way to at least save me, because all I want to do is to fix the problem. But so if there is any way in the law that this court and this panel can help me so that I can find the right chapter, That would be the right thing for me.
You understand, Mr. Ceballo, Judge Ferris's point. You're looking back. We are taking no position, nor did the bankruptcy judge take a position on your ability to move forward. 5 minutes after you get off this call and to consider a new case. So we cannot do very much about what happened in the past, perhaps. You may be able to move forward with a new case. There is no constraint placed on your ability to file that new kind of bankruptcy, at least in terms of what this panel has done and will do, and at least from the record we have in this case, the judge didn't put any constraints on you. So keep that in mind. Again, we are limited in what we can do. We can only look at one order and decide what happened, whether it was right or wrong. You have much more power to affect your life from this point forward.
All right. Thank you very much. I've become so emotional. I cannot speak clearly at this point. I understand what you're saying. I have a lot of cases. I will do my best. Thank you.
All right. Well, we hope things go well for you. And again, consider whatever we send, consider that you have more control than I think maybe you think you have. And so with that, I want to thank you for your submission to the court. Thank counsel for her argument. This will be taken under submission, and we'll issue a decision soon. And we are now going to be in recess. The judges will reconvene on the conference line to discuss the cases further. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.